Hey folks, it's Ed Hawken. I just want to mention a couple of things about what's been going on and what's with this episode. Now, I want to point out that this episode you're about to listen was actually recorded a couple of weeks ago. I know there's been a lot of recent news events that have certainly changed the priorities of what's being talked about, and I can assure you that Randall and myself are going to be going into that in our upcoming episode. But the other reason why this episode was recorded a couple of weeks ago and it was never put up was mainly due to the fact that I've been dealing with the flu, and also because I have a day job, and that job requires, you know, a lot of time, and on top of that, I like, you know, being able to not be homeless. So I've really been focused on that, and that's why this episode, where Sam Huddy, Monty Park as it were, I know he prefers to be Sam Huddy, is back, and we talk about a lot of different things. I know we talk about Doctor Who. Yes, we do discuss that. We talk about various movie futures and the possibilities of wanting to live in those futures. And then on top of that, L.A. Noir, a little bit of local history, you know, some Mad Men, of course, and the fact we even talk, you know, I even mentioned the fact, discuss high school parties and why movies and TV continue to lie to me. So get ready for that, and also, just to let you folks out there know, the Ed Hawken Show has finally joined the 21st century. We now have a Facebook fan page, so go to Facebook, type in The Ed Hawken Show, and just go ahead and like the show. I know there's not much content on there now, but as always, it's an ongoing process, much like life. And we're going to, you know, if you want to put up something on there on the site, you want to write something on the wall, there, on the message, well, not the message board, but on the Facebook page, by all means. And of course, check out all the other great content on braindeadradio.com. Rob Hughes does is working his ass off, and you know, really, I'm not doing enough as it is. So anyway, you know what? Thanks for downloading the show, and hope you have a great time.
Brain Dead Radio presents.
Supposedly, he was born in a mental institution, and he sleeps only 1 hour a night.
Ed Hawken.
You're crazy.
Let's rock.
I haven't got time for this Mickey Mouse bullshit!
The Ed Hawken Show.
This is The Ed Hawken Show, episode 26. Oh my god, I've already hit the mid to late 20s already. Yes, folks, it's I, once again, Ed Hawken, back again, in the saddle again. Joining us is actually very surprising. He's actually, once again, Sam Huddy is here. He actually emailed me, he said, I want to be back on the show, and
living
I want to oblige.
Living in America.
Good God, yo. I'm also partial to Weird Al Yankovic's Living with a Hernia. Are you familiar with that one?
No.
How could you not be familiar with the wondrous treasures of Weird Al Yankovic?
I'm younger than you.
That doesn't mean a goddamn thing. You went to a nerdy high school. You're. It is required under the U.S. Constitution that every
not
13
Weird Al nerdy. It was like Rush nerdy.
No. Every 13-year-old has a Weird Al phase. I don't believe this.
Nope, never did.
Bullshit. I don't believe that.
When I was 13, I was having my Nirvana phase.
Oh, for God's sake. Anyway, how have you been, Sam? How are you doing?
I'm interesting. I was walking on my way up here, and I saw a restaurant that is actually called Cafe 50s.
Oh, that's very interesting, actually. That cafe used to be down on Van Nuys Boulevard. I actually used to go there when I was about 9 or 10 years old. They used to have a lot of crazy crap on the walls. They recently moved. That used to be a Carl's Jr. And that Cafe 50s has been in a few things. That's actually like a little chain around here. So,
I had no idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny, but yeah, they used to... I think there's one down on Santa Monica or something. But yeah, that's a real place. What'd you think of it?
Well, it looked kind of old and beat up, and I thought, it's 2011, right?
Yeah.
It's time. We need to get rid of it and replace it with Cafe 80s. It's time.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because I know, you know, we're coming up to the year 2015. You know, that was as foreseen in Back to the Future 2. You know, I would always commonly ask, where the fuck is my Cafe 80s? But the funny thing is, we've had a real thing about 80s nostalgia for the past, at least, 10 years at now. Or, no, not
expect?
10 years. But at least for 5
it's
to
really
years.
Coming into its own. I think 80s nostalgia is old enough now to have its own restaurants, but I don't I've never asked for a hoverboard.
Okay.
Something I've ever wanted.
You never wanted the hoverboard? Really?
No. Not really.
Wow, you're going against the grain on that one.
But I've wanted to be waited on by Max Headroom floating TV sets.
Well, the funny thing is, it would be Ronald Reagan taking your order. That technology exists. I just don't know how you quantify to have an 80s themed restaurant. I'm not sure how that would work.
You'd have 80s, like NES, not NES, but before
right.
that, games sitting around. People would like sit at the bar at an elliptical machine.
Okay.
You've seen the movie.
Yeah. I would say that, for me, it would be the actual 80s and not what's depicted in Back to the Future 2. So, what, like, some of the wearers would be dressed like Gordon Gekko. Would be some would look like they're Tony Montana or Miami Vice.
Yeah.
And I think that could be possible.
And probably, like David Byrne or something. Or mm-hmm. the goth guys with the black shirts and the red
ties
and stuff.
The Cure.
Yeah,
The
Cure.
See, at least this is a lot more quantifiable than, say, the 90s. And we talked about that.
I disagree.
Really?
I've been watching the Larry Sanders Show.
Oh, that's a good show.
And all the characters, they have that certain way about them that just fits into sort of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of dissect it that way. It's a perfect show in this way.
But that's more like the early 90s. I think the 90s...
It ended in 98, the show.
Yeah. I remember. It's very funny that actually my dad, many, many years ago, knew a guy who was a staff writer on that show. I never actually knew his name, but I wasn't watching Larry Sanders. I just remember once my father knew a filmmaker, and he was actually asked to do some voiceover work for this independent movie that never got released, and the direction he was told was to act like Artie from Larry Sanders, which is funny because I got to ask, because I've never actually watched Larry Sanders. In terms of Hollywood agents, Artie from the Larry Sanders Show or Ari from Entourage?
Artie is not an agent, you have to understand.
Oh, he's a producer,
he's a producer,
that's right.
And he's really awesome.
Hmm. So which guy then would we say then?
Is the douchebag?
Oh, the bigger asshole, I would say.
Oh, Ari, absolutely.
Yes.
Artie is not an asshole. He's good to the show.
Yes, that's very true. I gotta say, if anything, it's probably one of the best TV shows about TV there is, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's this kind of thing that Studio 60 was never able to pull off.
Right.
You know,
people say that who actually worked in television, that was very real.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It wasn't all, you know, supposedly ultra-serious politics going on and, like, everyone giving a damn as to what was going on in Afghanistan. You know, the head writer didn't have a brother there. Did you ever try watching Studio 60? I couldn't make it. Couldn't make it.
My friend, who is in the mob, who went to high school with me, thinks I should try watching Studio 60, but I haven't been able to bring myself to do it.
Well, I believe it's still on InstaView on Netflix. I've tried watching it. I've never been able to finish it. I think it's really... I mean, Aaron Sorkin's a fantastic writer. I love his work in The Social Network. But it seemed like in Studio 60 he had a massive axe to grind. And the other problem was, and this was highlighted by a lot of other people, is that they tried to do actual comedy within the show, and it was not funny. They were doing Nicolas Cage jokes. Well, speaking of
right.
which, he actually just got busted for, I think, assault in New Orleans this morning.
Of course.
Yes. But it was just like being way too serious for what it was. It's actually, it's been said that what goes on in 30 Rock is actually more of how it is in, you know, being a TV comedy writer than it is on Studio 60.
I think comedies can do that because when you're writing a drama, as someone as I am
right now,
it's really you get really self-conscious about the tone you're creating, and you don't want to get too light.
Yeah.
But it's really not something you have to worry about. You've already set the parameters for this show, and you can basically do whatever you want.
Right. I would say, people would talk about when Studio 60 first came out. That they really should have, like, did you ever read the book Live from New York, which is the chronicle, the oral history of Saturday Night Live? Fantastic book. Huh. Amazing book. And really great insight. It's just basically one thing, there was a lot of cocaine going on. But more importantly, just great insight into the dynamics of what it was like to be a writer in the early days of Saturday Night Live. And again, they didn't employ any of that. And also just, I didn't really care for any of the actors involved. But again, it definitely seemed like Aaron Sorkin having an axe to grind. Now, it's funny that he's actually going to try to go back to TV with doing a Keith Olbermann-like show, a drama involving that, and I think Jeff Daniels is going to play the lead.
Jeff Daniels is just having a renaissance right now. He disappeared for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and he's just back.
He showed up, and he's in The Squid and the Whale, which I've never seen.
Right.
And I loved him in a movie called The Lookout,
yeah.
with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I don't know if you saw that, but that was great. I know they say he's great in The Squid and the Whale. I can't bring myself to see it.
He put out an album like a year ago or something?
He did not put out an album.
I think
he put out an album.
He put out like a blues album or something.
Never heard of this.
Oh, and he's sure on all the banners on Ventura Boulevard.
That's right, because he's in a play with James Gandolfini, but I never heard of Jeff Daniels releasing a blues album. Are you sure that's like
it was on the AV Club.
Are you sure that's you're not thinking of Rick Moranis' country album? I think that's what you're thinking of.
So, sadly, I'm not thinking of Rick Moranis' country album.
Or William Shatner's metal album. I'm serious. He's actually recording that right now.
Oh, my God. You know, Gary Numan tried to go all new metal. Mm-hmm. It was
really disturbing.
Really? Yeah, I've heard it's...
Oh, my God, new metal. But, yeah, you were going back to Back to the Future 2. You wanted to talk about also that... You know, it's the fact that it's going to be 4 years. It's going to be 2015.
It's very exciting. But... I don't think teenagers are going to be wearing their pants inside out.
The pockets inside out, yes. That was a bit ridiculous. I'm going to have to agree.
Well, I think they were... Well, we've done things that are just as ridiculous. We had...
Explain how.
Well, we had the pants down to here.
Well, that's because... you know, it's
it has to do with hiding guns.
Yes. Well, what's funny is that, and I actually read this in a... I don't know where the hell I read this, in some book, that the sagging of the pants to show off the underwear originally came from the fact in jail, you're not allowed to wear a belt, so your pants would kind of sag, I guess also because the clothes are really baggy.
Also, don't they wear jumpsuits in prison?
Yeah. I don't know. Doesn't make any sense. I don't know. I've never been to jail.
That reasoning does not make sense to me.
But anyway, yeah, clothes are really baggy, and they sagged a lot. Now, it's funny, like, and I think we talked about this last time, is that... it's like now pants are really tight, but somehow they still have to sag.
That's because they can't pull them up.
I don't even know how they... And they can't put anything in their pockets. We know we've gone over that, but it's still not as... I would still say, I mean, if you could somehow walk, which is an amazing thing to me with some of the way... Sometimes how low those pants hang, it's still not as ridiculous as having your pockets inside out.
Yeah, and other things that are in Back to the... See, Back to the Future Part 2,
right.
There were a couple things in it that came true.
Such as?
Video games with no hands.
That's true, actually.
And the way that, like, the town square works, it's like very gentrified, and it's got the little like fountain and stuff.
Yes.
That's basically how the style has evolved of landscape architecture in the modern day.
And
everything is more pedestrian friendly.
Yeah, that's true. And
whoa.
We got a little beer spill action here. Hold on, we got ourselves a possible BP like responsibility here. Oh no! Oh no! We'll be fine.
Okay.
So. Actually, let me give myself 1 second. Okay, we're back. We just had ourselves a little minor spill incident here. No, don't worry, nothing on the scale of BP, I can assure you. So, all right. So anyway, you were saying?
Yeah. So there are a few things that Back to the Future got right.
Okay.
But for everything else that they show in the year 2015,
mm-hmm.
are things that not only haven't happened,
okay.
but can't happen.
Such as?
The Twin Towers are still standing. Princess Diana is now the queen.
Right.
Pontiac is the number one selling car in America, despite no longer existing.
We never got a fucking rehydrator that worked.
Well,
never
Black & Decker never went into the cookware industry.
That's true, and thank God we didn't. It never became fashionable to wear two neckties at the same time. With a double collar shirt.
I've been thinking about that for a long time, and I kind of want to try it.
It would be really impractical. In fact, I don't even know it'd just be kind of really silly.
But you
see,
he's the only one who's doing that when they see...
Oh, well, there's one other thing.
The clear one.
I just realized the fact that the idea that Japanese would be running everything. Yeah. Well, that didn't happen.
Well, they said that in American Psycho, too, so... And he was imagining that whole thing, so, you know.
Well, American Psycho takes place in 1987, so I think it's okay. But that was a common running theme, especially in the mid to late 80s.
Yeah.
Everyone thought, and it kind of was, like, you know that movie Rising Sun? It was like a book also.
Yeah.
It's encapsulating that, and that everyone thought the Japanese were going to take over. Well, we showed them, because it became the Chinese.
At this point, we would love the Japanese to take over.
Compared to...
The Chinese.
Okay.
But I don't think they're going to take over either. I think, honestly... I don't think anybody's going to take over. It's kind of even out.
Oh, yeah. If anything, we're probably... I sadly hate to say this. We're probably going to end ourselves up into a Firefly-like existence where it's basically going to be commingling. You know, learning Mandarin is not such necessarily, I'm saying, a bad thing.
I think Latin America is on the rise.
That's true. Now, it's funny you mention that because speaking of futures, you know, Blade Runner, you know, a classic, one of my personal favorite movies.
Yeah.
It was very interesting in terms of that world, you know, how it has a big Asian influence and all that.
Yeah.
It was discussed at the time of the making of the movie, and you can see this in the documentary called Dangerous Days, They were deciding between either having a kind of an Asian-centric world or a Latin America-centric world, and they went with Asia. So it's interesting that you mentioned that, yes.
Well, the whole idea of Blade Runner was that all the rich white people have moved to other planets.
Yes, the off-world colonies.
So the whole there's been white flight
on a world, on a global level.
So that never really happened.
Well,
but
true.
I think we're closer, just stylistically, to becoming Blade Runner than we are to becoming Back to the Future 2.
Well, I agree. Speaking of Back to the Future 2, I also want to mention the fact that, sadly, 3D movies have made a resurgence. I'm not a fan of 3D, but I don't know. How do you feel about 3D movies?
I think
that it's bullshit. So, I really don't care. But, yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I definitely see what you're talking about. I mean, although I love that world of Blade Runner, even though when you think about it, it's a sad, depressing, dying place.
I think,
right,
that in 8 years we're all going to be like it's the 40s.
Possibly. And you know what's funny? Speaking about thinking it's like the 40s, if you see anything from, say, the early 90s, like we're talking 89, 90, 91, there seems to be kind of a weird revival. Like, do you ever try watching, like, The Fisher King or something like that? Any movies set around that time? Everyone's got, like, really pleated pants, and they're kind of big, and I just seem to notice this recently.
I don't believe I've seen any movies that are set in the early 90s.
That were made around that time. Really kind of, like, cheap movies?
I don't know.
Really? Nothing?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's gone under the radar.
Well, anyway, I would say, although we kind of had we had a fascination with the 40s back in the late 90s with the swing and all that.
But we also had a fascination with the 70s in the late 90s, and look where that got us.
What do you mean? You saying it elected George W. Bush?
No, I'm just saying it led to a lot of ugliness.
Well,
music, everything. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say. I mean, I would say that kind of influence, you know, that lo-fi influence came more around, you know, in the last decade with all the hipsters and all that. I wouldn't necessarily say started in the late 90s. If anything, it came right after nu metal. So, but anyway, it's funny that, in 8 years, we'll be hitting 2019, and I don't think it'll be raining that much in Los Angeles. It'll be very interesting if it does.
If it's the winter.
That's true.
And if you want to go, you can see the neighborhood from Blade Runner. It's basically just like that. You were just down there around Broadway.
Yes, in the downtown area.
That's the Blade Runner neighborhood.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's interesting also, and it took me a long time to realize this, is that you know the character J.F. Sebastian, the engineer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You remember the Batman the Animated Series episode with Hardak?
No.
Oh, you never saw the episode with the machine that was making humanoid robots?
Hell,
to replace humans? Oh, come on now.
I don't remember.
Anyway, you got to watch this episode. This is a two-parter, and it involves a machine called Hardak, and what they have a character that's basically J.F. Sebastian. It's voiced by the same guy. It's basically, you know, has like a room, an apartment full of, you know, machines he built. The character looks like him.
J.F. Sebastian was the creepy, drunk Southern guy in every TV show after that.
Yeah, he's in Deadwood. And that guy has a law degree, too.
Yeah.
And he also, Alex Cox looks exactly like him for some reason. Huh. I don't know why. But yeah, it's, I don't know. For me, it's, I wouldn't mind, even though living in a Blade Runner-like world is a hellish existence, for some reason that I have no idea why that appeals to me. But I think that was also because of me being really into industrial. So I kind of dug that kind of world for a while, but
I feel like we're somewhere in between. We're going to be some. It's going to be kind of like Back to the Future Part 2.
Part 3, we're going back into the West? The Old West? Is that it?
No, for another couple hundred years.
Okay. Oh, you're saying we're going to be in the Firefly universe?
Yes.
Then. Oh, God. You know what? Future world I was always wanting to see? The Cowboy Bebop universe, where you have interstellar travel, but everyone has regular handguns. Plus, I'd be alive for that.
That was in Firefly, too.
Yeah, it's just, it was seemed to be, you know, but it wasn't. Cowboy Bebop seemed to have it cooler, though. I don't know why, but I don't know.
Well, you know, they fired a laser cannon in the Navy did recently.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding. How did that work out?
It worked.
Okay, then. That's very, well, it's better than the, did you ever hear about, this is a very infamous
anti-aircraft laser.
Well, it sounds like kind of like Star Wars back in the 80s, but I would say, and pardon me, I've been dealing with a cold all week, there was once a study commissioned by, I think, somewhere in the Defense Department. This is not an urban legend, where they tried to research the concept of a gay bomb.
No, I knew about this. This leaked about 5 years ago. They used it on 30 Rock.
What, the gay bomb?
The gay bomb.
What happened when they used the gay bomb on 30 Rock?
Well, they were in an enclosed space, and
oh yes, and they started. Yeah,
they spilled it, and
yeah. Now I remember it was getting
Let's
pretty.
Let's do this.
It's getting pretty frisky in there.
Yeah.
But so yeah, what you know, it's also funny speaking about the future. I think the first Simpsons episode that took place in the future was set in 2010, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it?
That's correct.
Oh my God, England didn't save our asses in World War III. It's kind of funny.
Maybe they did.
I don't know about that. I'm pretty sure they did. What's also interesting is I also found funny is that the 1500 channel cable is like huge, and it's the complete opposite. So we never got a flying car, although I'm of the mind really we're probably better off
I'm
not
past
having
caring.
Those.
I
just want a car that drives myself, but then it's kind of like because that way you don't have to worry about falling asleep at the wheel. But you know, kind of like Time Cop. That's the only worthwhile thing in Time Cop.
You know. And here's another thing about Back to the Future.
Okay.
Doc Brown went into the future to get the flux capacitor powered by garbage.
Mr. Fusion, yeah.
But he didn't, like, change it so that it wouldn't have to run on gas.
Well, you know, I think you think about any of these movies, especially any time travel-related movies, anything's going to fall apart. I think, well, he said that the motion of the vehicle requires gas. I don't know.
Yeah.
So?
But... he could have replaced the engine in the future. I know a guy in Echo Park who will do that for you.
Oh, and have it run on vegetable oil?
No, just run it on electricity.
Okay.
It's like a battery. Well, it's this big, and it gets more horsepower.
Well, then where would he have been able to charge it back in the Old West? They even talk about this. That's how they powered the one in the third one, is that they had the train with enough... they charged it up. I think that's how it worked. They strapped some train wheels on it.
As I recall... Well, then, even if they'd done that, it wouldn't have affected the plot, so it's fine. It
yes.
was just an oversight.
I guess, but yeah, it's funny. Now I actually had the ability to see the third movie in the theater, so I was sad when they destroyed the DeLorean. I was kind of, you know, broken up about that. I felt really sad. And then they had the train, which didn't, you know, showed up once, and
retarded.
Then they had the cartoon where they had a non-speaking Bill Nye the Science Guy.
That's very strange.
No, it was. He didn't talk during the. They had these little sciencey segments. They would do experiments and all that. Now, in your mind, were you a Bill Nye the Science Guy or a Beekman's World fan?
Bill Nye, all the way.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I sadly once had a dream recently where I thought Bill Nye had died. I was very shocked at it. I was glad he was actually still alive.
You know, I had an interesting dream where Rush Limbaugh convinced me to renounce Judaism.
Okay.
And then all of my ceramics fell apart.
Did they implode? Did they melt?
No, they just kind of crumbled.
Okay. Just
and then I woke
dry?
Up.
Okay.
To this, because, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, do you think of any other futures that we may be in possibly in store for, you think?
Upcoming, not that comes to mind.
Okay, anything that you'd prefer to have?
You mean just in general?
Yeah.
Future-wise?
Yeah.
Well,
got anything?
But not really.
Like I said, I think I'd want the Cowboy Bebop.
I'm fine.
I think I'd want that.
I'd like to not need a car.
Right.
Which has gotten easier for me as my life has gone on.
Oh yeah, no, I'm grateful for the fact I can walk to work right now. So it's really a wonderful thing, and I got to treasure that. It really is, especially in this town where you still need a car. I mean, that's the way.
Well, you don't need a car in the city.
Well, that's true, actually. But if you're in the suburbs, you're screwed. So.
Yeah.
Well,
the suburbs are dying.
Yeah, I think we're all better for it. I'm not a fan of sprawl. I you know, that was the way things were back then. You were the idea that you were guaranteed a picket fence and a house. And
but we didn't even have picket fences anymore. We had McMansions.
I'm talking about in the '50s, basically. About in the '50s.
Yeah.
Because the gas was insanely cheap at the time. So whatever, you know. Like I said, bring it on.
The exurbs, you know, the small towns on the edge where.
Yeah.
Everybody builds McMansions so people can move in and build, so people
right.
can move in and build in construction. That was already happening before the recession. It was already in free fall.
Oh, yeah. No, the McMansion thing had been going on for the past at least 10 years. I know that was a big thing.
Yeah, I saw an interesting – when the census came out,
okay.
there was this evidence that nearly everyone who had moved into Arizona in the past 10 years
yeah.
moved back out.
What's also interesting is that the city of Detroit, which has been on a long decay for a long time – I know that was just redundant. Has now as many people as it did back before 1910. That's how far the city has fallen in size. So it's interesting that not only do you have, you know, obviously there's growth, but then you have places, especially in the Rust Belt area of the country where they have to shrink the cities.
Well, you know what's growing? Philadelphia.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Are you serious?
It's in Renaissance.
Get out of here.
Yeah, Phoenix was bigger than Philadelphia in 2005, and now Philadelphia is bigger again.
Really?
Yeah, and Phoenix is just.
I know, yeah, because of the housing. I mean, same thing with Vegas. But, you know, I knew Pittsburgh was having a renaissance. I never knew really Philly, of all places. But then I've heard some nice things about it. Even Mark Maron said there's some nice things going on in Philadelphia.
It's the new Brooklyn.
So it's just loaded with hipsters, basically.
It's becoming loaded with hipsters. Here in Portland and...
Oregon or Maine?
Oregon.
Okay.
And Baltimore.
Well, Baltimore, I've heard. I've heard it a lot. You know, it's just...
I think it's because of The Wire.
Yeah, I think so. And also, it's because it's cheap. Anywhere it's cheap, see, we're going to have a continual cycle where, you know, any beat-in-the-shit area is going to get gentrified because it's cheap. People will move in, and then they'll raise the prices, and then they'll leave because it's too damn expensive. The funny thing is they're trying to do that with Detroit. So there's some people out there that are so, I guess you could say, either brave or incredibly foolhardy that are willing to move into Detroit because a house there costs like 10 grand.
They're hipsters. They're going to save Detroit.
Hipsters will save Detroit.
Hipsters will save Detroit.
I don't believe
it. I had an interesting term paper in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it was late 2007 when I took high school economics, and they told us now is the time to invest.
Yeah. real estate? Did they say real estate?
They say in real estate.
Okay.
They were thinking more along the lines of Chinese mutual funds.
I don't even know how that's physically possible because you can't, I mean... Yeah, well, I mean, I studied finance. I've never heard of a Chinese mutual fund. I mean,
they had 800% returns, but just had its first trade deficit ever.
Yeah.
Last quarter.
Well, if that meant something, I'm not quite sure. But
Costa Rica's good for that stuff. It's like Switzerland.
Well, yeah, I suppose I wouldn't know. I haven't been down there, but it's funny you mention that. I didn't really have that sort of thing because I graduated in 2002. We didn't really have that. But
right.
I'm sure that, you know, high school was has really changed since that time.
I was talking about this with my grandma, and we both decided that high school has changed very little ever.
It's funny that you say that because, yeah, when you think about it, I mean...
People always think it's changed more than it has.
No, it hasn't because, and I've said this before, I mean, maybe the communication devices have changed and the demographics have changed. But the dynamics are still the same. And, like, if I had been born 10 years later, so I'd be a senior in high school, and you would be in middle school at this point, if you had been born 10 years later. No, yeah. Or elementary.
I'd be in sixth grade.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, because I had a late birthday. I don't know about you.
Me too. I was born in December.
So did you have, did your parents give you, like, an extra, hold you back a year, or give you an extra year of, like, preschool? So you were either the oldest in one grade or the youngest in another?
Well, there were people who were older than me.
Right.
In my grade.
See, I was
born in December.
Right. See, I was born in October, and my parents was like, well, we better give him an extra year of preschool so he can mature a little bit. And then, so I was like, I turned 18 in my senior year, so...
Doesn't everybody? I feel like most people do. I turned 18 in my senior year.
Really? I thought people graduated at 17.
No, I think you were right. I think you were right.
Yeah, most people graduate at 17. See,
I don't think they do.
Well,
because July is like the end. That's like the youngest people.
Yeah.
But the oldest people are like October. I knew people in my grade who were born in September.
But see, I know people that were born in 83, but then they graduated in 2001, and I graduated 1 year later. And
I graduated. I was born in 89, but I graduated in 08.
Right. Okay, I see. Wait a minute. So you were 19 when you graduated?
No, I was 18.
Okay. That's right. You would have been. But then one of my youngest sister, who was also born around the same time, did not have that. So she was she graduated, I think, a year. You know, she was one of the youngest. And it's just weird how that works out. Again, I don't mind. And I don't really miss school because I don't have to deal with the projects and the nonsense of all that garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice that when you're at work, I mean, obviously you're getting paid, but your work stays typically at work. And that's something I don't miss at all with school.
Huh.
So I don't know how you feel about that, but
I like not having homework.
That's very true. Wait, you're going to college? You're going to school right now, though?
I have very little homework.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding. I thought even in college I had homework. You have like group projects. You had to suffer through that and all that nonsense. And
I'm doing an anthropological study on my own high school.
Oh wow!
And I'm doing ceramics, so I'm not taking anything home.
Did you make anything nice out of ceramics?
I'm on my 21st project.
What is it?
I've been doing maps lately.
Really?
Yeah.
How does that work? How do you make a ceramic map? Is it just a general flat piece of rectangular?
Yeah, with the physical features.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Really?
I did one of San Francisco, I did one of Los Angeles, and I did one of California.
Wow. And you didn't just make bowls and other things that look kind of phallic?
I've made those things, but okay. I'm the busiest person. This is the busiest ceramic studio on the West Coast.
Really?
Apparently. Yeah.
So, it's not just jackasses making things that look like giant penises, is it?
No.
Okay,
and it's mostly the girls doing that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a joke right on Married with Children, actually. I remember that very well, actually. But, yeah, I never did ceramics. I tried drawing. I sucked at it. I'm just not very good at the arts. Huh. So, I never did that. I didn't do that in college and definitely not in high school. Although I did take art history in high school, and I don't know how I even passed. So, but really, what made you want to go into ceramics then?
Community.
The show Community, yes, told you to go into ceramics. Otherwise, you would have, what, done metal shop?
Maybe.
Woodworking?
Maybe.
Choir?
No.
So nothing Glee related then?
No, nothing Glee related.
You sure
Glee
about sucks. That?
Glee has ruined Van Halen for me.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. You're telling me Glee ruined Van Halen for you? You gotta be shitting me. Come on now. Nope. Seriously?
Their version of Jump, it hurt my soul.
What about Jane Lynch's version of Olivia Newton-John's Physical?
I don't watch Glee.
Yeah, neither do I.
It's just that I overheard it once, well, because they were playing it at the school.
Right. I've never had an issue with Glee. I mean, come on. Like, you can't claim like that cover like raped your childhood, you know?
Well, it didn't, because Van Halen has nothing to do with my childhood.
Right.
But here we are.
Yes. Although I found it very funny that the Kings of Leon actually told the Glee to fuck off. I'm like, really? Is that necessary? I mean, sometimes the rhetoric gets overheated. I think a respectful no thank you would have been perfectly fine. I think there's no reason to say, I mean, you know, to me it's like, you know, it's the show's harmless. So.
Well, anyway, my economics paper.
Yes, going back to this.
Well, my teacher, half of economics was just learning to play blackjack.
Really?
Yeah, and because, first of all, you can't tell people to invest who have no money.
That's very true. It's very interesting, I want to say, that like sometimes I'll read these investment columns, you know, people write in, and there's some guy writes in with like a Money Magazine. I remember this was like from Money Magazine. The guy's like my age, I think it was like at the time I was 25. He's like, yeah, I got like $30,000 to invest, and he lives in Boston. I'm like, what the fuck? How would he have been able to save this money? There's no way, unless he got a really high-paying job or he was living at home, there's no way he would have $30,000.
Yeah.
I don't know how people have the money, to be perfectly honest, especially in this town where it's so high-priced. But you were saying?
Yeah, well, Boston is even more expensive. But I had a paper, my final paper.
Okay.
Basically, where do I put this lightly?
How?
I came up with something called, and my teacher was a big fan of Freakonomics. Oh, yeah. I wrote a paper called The Bush Principle.
Okay.
The Bush Principle dictates.
Yes.
That the more women shave their vaginas, the closer we are to the economy collapsing.
And how do you figure this?
Because bubble economies cause people to live beyond their means in ways that are small but predictable.
Really? And how do you suppose
well,
that...
Well, I correlated this... And I found that...
How'd you do the research? I don't even want to know, but go on.
Well, I didn't cite my sources.
Okay,
it made
good.
It a lot easier. But I have a feeling
okay.
that every time that happened, it meant that it happened before there was a recession.
Okay. Well, it's funny you mention that, because I do remember in my history class when I was in college, you know, my professor, who's a really cool guy, talked about in the Depression that, I mean, this is a, you know... Such luxuries would go out the windows, and for example, like the rate of abortion would skyrocket, especially because you can't afford to have another kid.
Yeah, actually, there was such a low birth rate in the 30s.
Yeah.
That basically the most upwardly, if you wanted to be really upwardly mobile, like the most upwardly mobile you could be in history,
right?
The best thing you could do is be born in America in 1935.
Really?
Yes.
I think I heard about that. Wasn't that from Malcolm Gladwell
or
something?
Yeah, because it means you started college in 1953 when all this stuff had been built for the GIs, but there weren't many people to compete with.
Right. Oh, and you know who that was? Warren Buffett. So,
yep.
Exactly. I remember once reading, like, sometimes, and I do try, you know, I study economics, which I actually think is very interesting. Although the thing is, it's pure theory. We're talking the basic principles of supply and demand. It's pure theory because you're not taking into consideration the fact how irrational people are and who want to screw over the system.
Bubbles are caused by high pressure.
Yeah.
So, and high pressure is high sales or not sales. They're a form of fraud.
Right. And then
so basically, you're pressuring people into doing things arbitrarily, and that's how you know there's a bubble economy. So my friend and I came up with this, my friend was there, but I came up with it.
Mm-hmm.
This list of all these things that would happen just by gut instinct by the year 2030.
Okay.
And I wrote this in 2007. I said, in 2008, the economy will collapse.
Okay.
It will be the largest recession since the Great Depression.
Right.
And then I said that sometime in the 10s there would be a large earthquake in Japan and...
Are you saying you have the powers of the Dead Zone from a la Christopher Walken?
No, I was just guessing.
I did kind of seize up when you shook my hand, though. I'm a little concerned by that.
I was, so I did a list. Anyway. There, the other things I haven't happened yet, like okay. Mexico turning around, and
really, that would actually seriously. I mean,
yeah. And by 2030, the majority of immigrants to the U.S. will be from Africa.
Oh, interesting. That could be a possibility there. I do believe that. Now, going back to economics, I want to mention one other thing I actually read once. I forgot the name of this book, Christ. I actually remember this is because of the funny stuff about economic theory, like Freakonomics. I remember once reading an example of that a guy who is disease-free, so he has no STDs, actually should be going out and having more sex, because the idea being that because he is disease-free, the people that are willing to want also, you know, go out there and have sex.
Yeah, but he's disease-free because he's not getting any.
Well, here's why. This is why they claim they should have more sex, is that because he is someone who is disease-free, the people that are willing to sleep with other people, they have now a better chance to sleep with someone who is disease-free versus sleeping with someone who has a disease. So the guy who is disease-free, by sleeping around more, is increasing the pool of, you know, better, you know, not getting grabs. This is the idea.
That doesn't make any sense. It's not that Doctor Who episode where they touch each other and then they're healed.
Which episode was that? Which doctor? Was
the one where they go to New Earth in the hospital.
Oh, yes. The New Earth. Yes. Yeah. I believe that was the David Tennant episode, I believe. Yes.
Yeah.
But, I actually watched the fifth season of Doctor Who with Matt Smith. He's fantastic. He's great.
I don't know why people didn't like him. He's terrific.
What do you mean? Are you serious? People have been loving Matt Smith.
People were very, had very negative anticipation.
Oh, well, I think because, you know, he's kind of a weird, you know, when he came on, he was kind of a weird, you know, he's a weird looking guy. He's got that big forehead. You know, they didn't really know him from anything.
But he's like, you know how, they tried to make how Batman, they tried to, he was all campy at first, and then when they brought him back years later, he was dark and edgy.
Yeah.
And then when they brought him back again, he was even darker and edgier.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way with Doctor Who. When it went off the air in 89, it was, like, really ridiculous.
Oh, it's sad because, the last two, the 87, 89, that's the Sylvester McCoy years.
Right.
And his character, his doctor, is actually really good. He just got a shitty hand.
Yeah,
the episodes were garbage.
And... Anyway. But when they brought him back with Christopher Eccleston and David Tennant, it was darker and edgier.
Yeah.
And then when they did it with Matt Smith, it was even darker. It was like he was like the Christian Bale to their like Val Kilmer.
Even though he's not
Val Kilmer. Who the fuck am I thinking? Michael Keaton.
Keaton. But he's not. You know, he's just. I love the way he's portraying himself as like a guy who's like he knows who he is and he's keeping it barely under the control because you don't want to like piss him off. You know, go against him. Otherwise, he's going to yell at you. So I could relate to that to a certain respect. Also, yeah. He's a very snappy dresser, and it also makes me want to buy a fez. So, and the other cool thing, and I've said this on the show before, he and I have the same birthday, Matt Smith. So he's just exactly 1 year older than me.
Huh.
So, and he's got a great look. I really enjoy his look. And, you know, Tennant's great, but I got to go with Matt Smith on this.
Well,
and
times have changed. It's time for Matt Smith is how I see it.
How do you figure?
Well, I mean, David Tennant had a good run, and he was good for his time, but now it's time for Matt Smith.
Yes.
It's not a matter of better or worse in this respect for me. I just think that it's a different climate.
Were you one of those guys that said when David Tennant left that, like, we got to go for, like, did you have, like, someone you want, like, because they always,
no.
Like, an older doctor, because there's always this thing of, like, having Bill Nighy, which is the,
I didn't care.
Yeah. I
didn't know. So we knew Matt Smith was going to replace him like really years earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, because you know what the running rumor was for a while that they considered even Robert Carlyle.
Huh.
Yeah, with him and his jaggedy teeth, and then they were actually at one point going to have a black guy play the doctor, and there's always the thing of also having a woman play him, like they were going to have Catherine Tate or something like that, and I don't know. It would be a little weird the fact that you could shift gender like that when you regenerate.
Yeah, I think the general idea is that. If you're a Time Lord, you're always going to be the same gender.
Yeah, you just change your appearance.
Yeah.
I hope. Otherwise, it's going to get really, really weird.
It's still weird to turn into someone else, to have different teeth.
I would think that's kind of cool, though. But
but it would feel weird.
Well, yeah, you got to get yourself adjusted. And the funny thing is, like, you have the tendencies of the person you just regenerated from for a little bit. You have that personality.
Yeah.
But your central core is the same. You just have a different look. So.
But you have a different personality as well. Remember what I told you about monkeys equals monkeys?
Oh, really? How does that remind me again?
You connect a band to a TV show, same time period.
Oh, yeah, you told
same
me
idea.
Yeah,
feel.
Exactly.
David Bowie is Doctor Who.
That's a very good point, actually. I never would have thought about that.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, did you see Source Code? It's It's really good. I recommend it. Did you ever see Moon?
His son, I loved Moon.
Moon is amazing. Yeah, his son directed that, and I really hope he's out there doing other stuff. But yeah, I have not listened to enough Bowie. I know I do own the Live at 1972 Santa Monica album. It was pretty good. Yeah, really good to listen to live music. But yeah,
I've got another Monkeys Equals Monkeys. Okay. For you. Pavement is Freaks and Geeks.
I don't even know who Pavement is.
You don't know who Pavement is?
I know.
Stephen Malkmus.
I don't know who that is.
You missed Pavement completely?
Is that like Government Mule?
No, I've never heard of Government Mule. Okay. Pavement was... They were like... They lo-fi, Stockton. They were always singing about Rush.
What year was this?
Pavement, their first album came out in 92.
Okay, I was about to say, this sounds very early 90s. Like
they were sort of like Weezer before Weezer.
Okay.
But they're more respected now.
Okay. Is this like the Get Up Kids or nothing like that?
No.
Okay. I'm just going to yell at random band names at this point.
You got to look up Pavement. It's like you've missed something fundamentally without realizing it.
Oh, what are you kidding me? Of course I have. Yeah, right. Especially in the area of music. I've repeatedly said on this show that I know jack shit about music. It's just the area. That area
but
is just
kind of
dead zone.
You know about Drag City Records?
No, I never heard Drag
City. Chicago?
Nope.
Oh,
is that like Fat Wreck Records?
No, that was like the lo-fi outfit for like the whole of the 90s when Chicago was like the
hipster
center.
That's right. You're right. They were the hipster center. I mean, that's where Fall Out Boy of all things came from. They had that kind of scene.
Yeah.
Same thing. The Midwest had a real weird emo scene for a while. Especially, you know where else they had it?
Connecticut.
Not Connecticut, Omaha.
Well, Omaha is in the Midwest.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was just like of all the places, but really Connecticut?
You know, I hear that Gainesville has a very good big hardcore scene. And Richmond, Virginia.
Makes sense. It's just the weirdest random place. Well, D.C. D.C. had a big punk scene, so
Well, Richmond's pretty far from D.C.
It's not that far. It's within driving distance.
It's like 200. It's like 100 miles or
something. Well, even then, I mean, that's the East Coast. That's the East Seaboard. That's, you know, it all runs together.
But Richmond is the South.
Yeah, it is. So is D.C., though. But
D.C. is... No, D.C. is North.
D.C. is the South. It's the northernmost southern part of the country. Whatever the hell I'm saying. Oh, you know, speaking of Richmond, you know, very interesting fact that, Disney's Doug was based, Bluffington was based on the city of Richmond?
You know, it's not Disney's Doug. Originally, it was Nickelodeon.
That's right. I've committed a massive fail here because I didn't really have cable when I was a kid.
No, you've got brand new spanking Doug, which everybody knows.
Is the inferior Doug?
Yes.
Why? Because his voice was different? Was that the only reason? I never watched the original Doug.
Well, the original Doug was a little, like, I don't know, it was a different voice, but it was definitely
it was a different voice actor, I thought.
No, I think it was the same voice actor. It's just that when they do it, like when you hear like voiceovers earlier, they sound kind of different
because
they haven't gotten into it yet.
Right.
But it was I don't know how to describe. I haven't watched Doug in a long time. Why are we having this? People get pissed off. Hipsters get really pissed off
about Doug?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I always wondered about, speaking about Doug, Roger Klotz's henchman, one guy had like the one tiny eye and the one big eye. Is that a medical problem? Did he have an issue with that? I mean, the man's got
These people are blue.
I think that was the idea, that was a stab at multiculturalism, really. I think, because everyone kind of interprets for some reason, I know you've heard of this.
It would seem that blue in Doug is the equivalent of black in the real
exactly,
world.
Exactly, that Skeeter was a black man. But for some reason... his father was, he had a weird, like, you know, kind of a Ray Romano-esque voice. I don't know what that was about.
Well, Kermit the Frog has a Ray Romano-esque voice, and he's not white, he's green.
Yes, and it ain't easy being green.
And Harold Ramis and Bob Dylan in that one song.
Oh, yeah, that's very true. But yeah, it's, Richmond is Bluffington, apparently, with a Honker Burger and all that, which is a terrible place, and, yeah, like I said, I didn't have cable when I was a kid. I had cable.
I didn't have cable either, but I went to my grandma's all the time, and she had cable.
Okay, see, yeah, because I had cable twice when I was growing up. Once in 1995, when I watched a lot of Quantum Leap, and then once in 1990, where I watched a lot of live-action Nickelodeon stuff that I can't remember. So, and it's also because I was on an episode of Wild and Crazy Kids. Well, I was at a summer camp. They filmed a segment of Wild and Crazy Kids. I got a T-shirt, but I didn't show up. So, I don't even know what they did with it, but God, they had some random ass programming.
You know,
then.
They're filming Parks and Recreation like every day near where I live. Yeah,
that's great.
It's terrific.
Did you get to see Ron Swanson yet?
No.
Did you get to check out his How to Build a Canoe DVD yet?
I did.
What'd you think of that?
It was fucking hilarious.
I want to see what are the highlights of the Nick Offerman How to Build Your Canoe DVD? Please indulge us.
As you can see here, we've got something of an alternating pattern between light and dark, and light and dark. So we've got these real nice boards. We're going to put them together like this. It was so bizarre. I don't know where Nick Offerman ends and Ron Swanson begins.
Well, he has a beard in that DVD, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't have anything.
Oh, he's clean shaven.
Yeah.
It's weird seeing him without the stash, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really, you feel like something in Integral is missing here. Really, he just feels naked up
but
there.
It's still, it was like, I had to laugh at it, because it felt like something that was on the show.
Well, the idea of him being a craftsman on the show was born out of the fact that Offerman is, you know, actually builds canoes.
Wow, it's almost like this chair is canning itself.
Child labor laws are ruining this country. Yeah. They actually, someone sampled that, I was listening to the radio
one. I can show you how to build a cribbage board.
It's funny that they actually sampled some Parks and Rec when I was listening to the radio one night. It was actually very hilarious. And speaking of NBC comedies, what do you think of who do you want to replace Steve Carell in The Office? Do you have a particular choice or?
I would like The Office to be over.
Okay.
But
if you had to pick someone, who would you go for?
Oh shit.
Didn't you? No, wait.
I want to pick somebody who is actually really different.
Okay.
Personally.
Didn't you suggest that they should have Job from Arrested Development show up and as the new manager?
No, that's what they're going to do.
Oh, okay. Did you know they actually wanted Harvey Keitel was once considered to be the lead in that?
Yes.
He doesn't do. Why the hell would you do something like that? What? He doesn't.
Why
do
not?
Comedy. But he doesn't do comedy.
Maybe he could now.
But he's always phones it in most of the time. What does he do? Show his penis on camera? Is that what
he's
going to
do? There was the one episode where Michael Scott did do that.
When was this?
When she walked in on him.
Okay, I didn't see this.
Even though he said to come in because he's an idiot.
Okay, yes. Well, yes, he is a massive idiot. Anyone who wears white jeans who's not Jesse Custer from Preacher is considered to be an idiot. I gotta say, yeah, I've not really. It's funny that we're, you know, that this has been such a great year, but really, there's not been. I just saw a sort, you know, in terms of movies and TV, I got nothing else. Although I can't.
Well, it's interesting. AV Club did a thing.
Okay.
They say that television drama. You know, we had the big shakeup with Lost. That started with Lost and it ended with Breaking Bad,
mm-hmm.
and that's over now. Television drama is boring again.
Right.
But comedy is still good.
Yeah,
we've got shows like Louie, and we've always got more new shows.
Oh yeah, speaking of that, did you finally see the? I don't know if I asked you that. Did you see the episode of Louie where his mother comes to visit?
No.
Oh, some of the best television I've ever seen.
Hmm.
It'll be interesting to see if he pulls it off for the second season. I believe he'll be able to do it, but I imagine there's going to be some big expectations.
Yeah.
But you're right about dramas. There really hasn't been any interesting dramas, except, you know what, the only one I really want to see is Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they're going to delay it because Michael Shannon's playing General Zod.
Right.
So, I don't know how you feel about that.
I mean, 2010 was like the end of new great television dramas.
Right. I mean, we still got Mad Men, and they're...
We're going to have things that were on before.
Right.
And it turns out they have a sixth season, so who knows, it
Thank
might
God.
End in 1970.
Well, we'll see. I hope they're going to bring back Sal. I really hope they do.
Yeah, I don't give it... Why? It's over. It's done.
But he was interesting, and he was.
No,
he
was just gay. That's it. That's all. And he was a mama's boy, and he
had a beard
Italian
for a wife, and he knew how to speak Italian. And
yeah.
No, but I mean, you know, maybe they'll bring him back, and he's out and proud, or some shit like that. And
nobody was out and proud before 1979.
Truman Capote was.
Yeah, but Truman Capote was famous, so he could get away with it.
Oh, okay. That's very true, actually. Although, you know, actually, that's not true. I actually know a guy who was came of age in the 60s. He actually told me this, and he was actually Gerald Ford's once personal chef, if you can believe it. He's a friend of my bartender, and he's actually a really interesting guy. But anyway, I hope they would bring him back, because I thought he was very interesting. I mean, it's interesting. I just got to see the episode where Freddie Rumsen comes back, and it's actually, you know, interesting.
Yeah, and Ken Cosgrove accounts back.
Oh, wow. They did? Good
yeah.
for him. But Paul Kinsey remains somewhere out in the wind.
Paul Kinsey is loose. They actually have a new character. It's
yeah.
kind of like the replacement for Paul Kinsey.
Who's that?
Who's Rizzo, Stan Rizzo.
Wait, Paul Kinsey. Shit. Paul Kinsey's the one with the beard. He's not the guy.
Right.
Harry Crane is the guy who runs television, right?
Right.
Okay.
Harry Crane is cool. But he yeah. never shows up. He's like this season. The season you're watching now.
Fourth season.
There's like a replacement. Yeah. Stan Rizzo is like the replacement. He's not really the same kind of pretentious guy. He's more of just your garden variety meathead.
Yeah, okay.
But he's like a pretentious meathead.
Right.
He wears polo shirts everywhere.
So he's kind of like the Andy Bernard of the 1960s.
Kind of.
Wow.
But he's less... Andy Bernard is kind of pitiful. And that's this guy true. Is not. He's just, he gets easier after a few episodes.
I gotta say, Peggy Olson looks great this fourth season. She really looks good.
Yeah, you know, I think that Mad Men is really 30 Rock, but it's the same characters.
Just being dramatic?
Yeah, you've got Don Draper, who's Jack Donaghy, and Peggy Olson is Liz Lemon.
But Don Draper is not as connected as Jack Donaghy, and doesn't he, you know, he's always...
Doesn't matter, it's the same kind of...
He's always like one step away from a wall just collapsing under his own weight, you know?
That's going to change this season.
What do you think's going to happen?
No, you're watching this season.
Oh, yeah, shit, that's right. That's right. Oh, interesting enough, Alison Brie, I believe, played the psychologist who analyzes Don right then and there.
Alison Brie
I thought she was the...
He's Mrs. Campbell.
Oh, shit. I thought she was the blonde psychologist.
No, that's someone completely different.
Shit, because she looked like... Because I just watched another...
Alison Brie has been on for the past several seasons.
Shit. I just thought, because wasn't she... She was the leader of Clash of the... Wasn't she the singer of Clash and the Demon Head in Scott Pilgrim? Wasn't that her?
Maybe.
I thought that was her. I just happened to come back for another midnight showing of Scott Pilgrim the other night, and... A lot of hipster girls were in there.
Alison Brie was not in that movie.
Yes, she was.
She was?
She was. She's in the credits. Huh. I believe that's her.
No, I don't think that's her. That's
shit.
Someone else.
So Alison Brie is dark hair?
Alison Brie has dark hair.
I don't know shit about actresses.
You watch Community, don't you?
I barely pay attention.
She's Annie.
Okay.
Not Britta.
Okay, see, I haven't really been paying attention to Community. See, I know who Aubrey Plaza is, so I can identify who she is.
Alison Brie is Mrs. Campbell. That's the end of the story. She's been on the show before.
Now, speaking of Mrs. Campbell, did you know that the guy who played Pete Campbell actually once faced down Patrick Stewart in a Die Hard like ripoff movie from 1996 called Masterminds?
No.
Yes.
But he's always riding the subway.
Really?
In the city, yeah.
He's also apparently an angel.
He doesn't own a car.
Good for
and,
him.
And my dad's girlfriend's niece is dating him.
Wow. That is something.
And she drives him around everywhere.
Good for him. Speaking of that. Oh, did you know King Cosgrove's going to show up in a video game coming out in May?
We've talked about this before, I feel like. L.A. Noire.
Yeah.
If I had the money, I would buy a PS3 just to play that game.
It's coming out on 360, though, isn't it?
I don't have a 360 either.
Well, I do, so I will be playing it.
I'm coming over here, then.
All right. Party in my
decrepit
place.
I missed her old history L.A. rapid transit stuff.
Right.
They did this all from, like, photographs and topo maps and
yeah,
I have like some of those old photographs and maps, like the original.
It's crazy that there are actually, you know, what's really interesting. You can go to like websites like Curbed LA. They'll have these things where they will show you the proposed transit maps and areas what they were thinking of doing.
And then there was the stuff that was, which was even bigger.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is that, like, say, for example, and I bet you know this, like, say, Century City, right, which used to be part of the Fox Studios lot.
Right.
They originally were going to run a freeway down Santa Monica. It was going to be known as the Beverly
Hills
Freeway.
The Santa Monica Freeway.
Monica Freeway. That's why if you go down Santa Monica, it's kind of like a freeway now, but it was supposed to be
actually, it's like that
freeway.
Because that's Highway 2, and it was already Highway 2.
And they used to have a train running
train,
down the middle.
Yeah.
And they finally got rid of it because it was kind of stupid because it was a freight train.
Well, so, it was a rapid transit line before. There were about 200 rapid transit lines at one point.
Yeah, and it's funny how far they ran, to be perfectly honest. I was really surprised.
There was one that ran from downtown LA to Riverside.
Yeah. And it is a shame that we don't have that.
And some of those were like, it was like such an expansive system that there were several lines there that didn't really need to exist, and they only existed for 1 year.
Well, that's kind of why the Laurel Canyon line.
Or
the transit system just ran itself aground. I mean, yeah.
It overextended itself,
and I mean, I know there's always that thing about that a conglomerate of the tire, oil, and auto companies bought
Pacific
it out,
Electric
but it was already
was sort of
the
regional
shit.
System.
Yeah.
That got shut down earlier, but there was also Larry, which is sort of like Muni in
really?
San Francisco.
It was called
SEPTA.
LARY?
LARY, but then it became LATL, which became MTA.
Well, RTD then became MTA.
No, MTA became RTD. This was in the 50s.
Oh, okay, then
they had
back
the green
MTA.
Cars, which was like the city system, mm-hmm. just for the city, and that lasted until 63.
Wow, I think it'll be great. You know, and it really.
And
is
I was on the first Blue Line train.
How was that when it opened? Would you even know something like that when it was? Because that train was created in 89. You would have not.
It opened in February of 1990.
Oh, that's right. Actually,
I was
on that.
The inaugural train. I was a guest of honor.
Get out of here.
At 3 months old.
Do you have a photograph of this?
It's on video. It was on Life and Times at the time.
Bullshit. With Huell Howser?
No, with Jess Houston.
Oh, okay.
Not Jess Houston, Jess Marlowe.
Can you? Is this on YouTube right now?
It might be. We're gonna have to look. My dad was the Pasadena Transit Commissioner.
Okay, that explains that. That explains that a lot. But
I was also on the last. I was also on the last Amtrak train to Pasadena.
Wow.
In 1994.
Wow, I can't believe it. But you know, I just actually went on the Blue Line just recently when I went to. I made an ill-fated trip to the downtown anime convention.
That was actually the last Pacific Electric line.
That Blue Line.
The Blue Line was the. It was the last one to get be gotten rid of and the first one to come back.
Yeah. It. I mean, the other issue is like there are even like transit plans from like the 80s, but see, sadly due to NIMBYs on the West Side, they were never built.
Well
the natural.
The
gas.
NIMBYs are gone now. The recession has killed them apparently. All them
good.
Apparently,
fuck
and they
em.
Are building like crazy.
Good.
They're like building like five lines at once right
I'm
now.
I'm glad. It's really good to see actually some actual dynamism going on in this town. Because, you know, there's a real thing. I mean, I'm no booster for L.A., but you kind of get
like,
you kind of get tired of...
And first of all, No, I don't like the West Side. I don't like people on the West Side.
Right.
I just kind of want to spite them.
Okay.
But, you know...
Is it like a slobs versus snobs kind of thing?
Well, they're
which
the,
is funny because you're from Pasadena, so...
Because, the West Side, they're like the snobs and the slobs at the same time.
Okay.
Because they're like the Kardashians. They're rich, but they walk around
they
in like
no
sweatpants. They got no class. They're rich, but they got no class.
Right.
And there are poor people. In Venice, apparently, Wes Clark Jr. had someone pulled a gun on Wes Clark Jr.
Who's
in
Wes
Venice.
Clark Jr.?
He's Wesley Clark's son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's funny. I was about to say, speaking of slobs versus snobs, you being from Pasadena, which is one of the first rich enclaves of this town.
But it's
town.
Not. It hasn't. It always had poor people.
Oh, that is true. But I mean, you're by like what San Marino and the Huntington Library.
Yeah, we had San Marino was just for the rich. It was where the John Birch Society was from.
Yeah.
My dad grew up in Arcadia,
okay.
Which didn't allow Catholics to there until 1965.
Did you know that
he was Catholic?
Glendale was once the headquarters of the American Nazi Party. Did you know that? That's very true.
No.
It was.
I feel, isn't the Nazi party in Phoenix now?
Wouldn't surprise me at all. And then we're going to get killed. So if you see a burning cross on your front lawn, you'll know
well,
what happens.
Well, actually, when the first Chinese guy moved to Arcadia, and mm-hmm. my dad lived there at the time, he was a kid, they
wow.
burned a cross on his lawn.
Jesus Christ.
And now Arcadia is half Chinese.
Well, a lot of saying, half? I would think that whole area is
no,
really
I've looked
Asian.
Into it, it's half Chinese.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah, it's very interesting that, you know, because of the changing demographics, I mean, this used to be, a lot of it was a lot of white, you know, enclaves, because a lot of people, because of the migration, you know, due to the Midwest yeah. and all that.
It's
and,
interesting you should say that, because when I was born in Pasadena,
right?
There were a lot more black people mm-hmm. than there are in Pasadena now.
Yeah.
In fact, Jackie Robinson's house, which is actually gone now, but the site of Jackie Robinson's house is only about a mile from my house.
Well, it's funny that you say
it's
that.
Projects now.
Well, like I said, it's funny that you say that, because a lot of the areas that, you know, say South L.A., you know, that were known to be predominantly black, you know, Compton even, is now majority Latino. So it's,
yeah, well, you know, before it was black, the South Side was Jewish. My grandma
Boyle
lived
Heights.
On the South Side. No, not the East Side. The South Side was Jewish, and that became black. And then the East Side was Jewish.
That's very true, actually. Especially
and
all
then,
the
Midtown now.
Yeah, especially for all those tiny little cities from the in the southeast part of the county, which are like all these corrupt little towns. You may know very well about this from the whole City of Bell scandal.
I believe that some of my former classmates had a hand in that. We were all involved
in the corruption.
Yeah, well, we all had dads who were like, all had like racketeering and bribery and stuff. We had a lot of white collar criminals in our ranks.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
I was about to say, I hope none of your friends were fathered by Robert Rizzo, that fat fuck.
No,
you serious? Oh my god!
One of my classmates, he was the son of the president of the Teamsters Union of Hollywood.
Oh, I was about to say, if his last name was Hoffa.
No, his last name was Cusimano. One of
okay.
the families in
holy shit that name is used. In
that
the
was
Sopranos.
Named after him.
Yeah.
That was named after the, is that that was named after him.
You're serious?
Yeah.
How old is this guy?
Oh well, I don't know. Well, I never met his dad, but the guy was in the same graduating class as me.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
So clearly, I know who not to fuck with. So because I know I don't want to be a dead guy. That is crazy. I mean, like the closest I got to that is the fact I was once in Hebrew school with Henry Winkler's son. And that guy just
Henry
released
Winkler
the movie.
Visited us on our 25th anniversary.
What was it like meeting the Fonz?
I didn't meet the Fonz. I wasn't born yet.
Oh.
It was our 25th anniversary. Yeah, I was around for our 50th.
Oh, okay. There you go.
School was founded in 1955 in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
I visited recently, and I thought maybe that wasn't in the middle of nowhere. It is.
Still the middle of nowhere.
It was built in the middle of a field that was like 3 miles across in every direction.
What's funny is that I once went to...
when I left... I wanted to take the bus on Rosemead.
Okay.
Because this was on San Gabriel in Rosemead.
Yeah.
And I walked through about 2 miles of forest and swamps.
Swamps? Really? Yeah.
Well, it's the Rio Hondo.
Which is
it's a river.
Oh, wow.
It's a river that starts in Arcadia.
No kidding.
And flows in.
I had no idea we had swamps in this town. I know we had wetlands, but I didn't know we had swamps.
I walked through the woods, basically, for like 2 hours on the way. And when I got to Rosemead and San Gabriel intersection,
yeah,
it's just like this elevated intersection on a bank. It's surrounded by strawberry farms.
So it's like you're... Wow.
It's the middle of nowhere.
Holy shit. I'm just amazed again that we had even swamps. I hope you checked yourself for ticks on the way back.
Well, I stayed on the road. Okay. It's so thick that you can't even like cut through it.
Wow.
There are like house foundations of houses there. It's like people used to live there and they abandoned it or something.
I would have thought just mainly because it went on fire.
No, in fact, there's a. It's so strange
that it never went on fire.
No, it's the woods, but it like people used to live there, but now they don't. It's like become wild again.
Wow. And that's exactly what's going on with the city of Detroit, oddly enough.
Well, actually, that's what's happening with the Inland Empire in southern Orange County, turning back into farms. It's more profitable.
Yeah, although the funny thing is, being in Orange County, they're getting a third basketball team in this town.
We are?
Yeah, because the
this
Sacramento...
This is official now.
Well, I mean, it's basically a done deal. The Sacramento Kings are moving because, really, it's Sacramento. So
I feel bad for Sacramento. You know, the NBA operates in a lot of markets that don't have major sports
teams.
That's
exactly
like
why they're
Portland.
Moving. Yeah, that's why they're moving. I mean, what's funny is that team, because obviously in L.A., we never had an original team. They all came from other places. But the Sacramento Kings, for those of you that don't know, were originally from Kansas City.
Well, actually, they were... that's not true. They were the Rochester Royals.
That's right.
And then they were the Kansas City Kings, and then they were the Omaha Kings, and then the Sacramento Kings.
Right. But, I mean, the classic example of this is, like, why you have a team called the Utah Jazz. Originally
from New Orleans. Because they're from New Orleans. And why we have the New Orleans Hornets is because they were from Charlotte.
But at least that makes sense because Hornets exist down there. But
no,
the fact
but see,
they say
when,
Jazz
No,
Utah,
but you see, Charlotte was the battle where that's when we started winning in the War of Independence. And Cornwallis referred to Charlotte as a hornet's nest.
No kidding.
That's
no
why
idea.
It's called the Charlotte Hornets.
I mean, I knew what a copperhead was, but I never knew that about Hornets.
Yeah, a lot of our major sports teams, like the Raiders, that has to do with Sir Francis Drake.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean,
and
I knew the Packers.
The Buccaneers is because of Blackbeard. And
well, and the Packers are because of the industry.
And
obviously
the
Steelers.
Brewers and
yeah. It's funny. And then the Dodgers was obviously due to a... it was some type of trolley maneuver in the middle of Brooklyn. Speaking of that,
jumping
I actually went to a ball game the other day, and I was incredibly drunk. So, but I thankfully did not... There was a huge police presence. I did not get in any trouble. But I cannot remember half to three-quarters of the game.
Huh.
I did discover that both Wild Turkey and Jack Daniels taste like burning. So...
Wow.
Well, it was, I just... But, again, I was on my best behavior. I don't know if you've had the experience of chugging Jack Daniels.
No.
But,
I don't really... I'm not really a guy who drinks ever.
You never had wacky high school parties that were like shit got really weird and there was a lot
not
of sex
personally,
going on?
No.
It wasn't like in the music videos?
It's not like Skins. I told you, this is what makes Catholic school different. We're like, it's different. There's a different dynamic. We're all
right.
Guys, so if somebody's going to have a party, it's not like everybody's going to know about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, there were a lot of us just didn't think it was worth the effort. We didn't live in the we lived in Pasadena, most of us.
Okay.
And we were usually just on a Friday night just go down to Roscoe's with Mr. Thompson.
Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was right around the corner from my house, and that's where we would just hang out.
Right.
That's what we
would
do.
Chicken and waffles.
That's it. That's all we would do.
Wow.
Now,
that is incredibly low key, but yeah, go on.
It was very low key, and that's why.
It makes sense, but you'd think there wouldn't be like the stereotype of the one guy who like go to the girls' school, like supposedly across the way. I know you. I'm jokingly saying it because
it's miles and miles.
Miles away.
We have three of them. Yeah.
And wow, that's
we had
something.
Three sister schools.
But yeah, so basically, again, that movies and TV lie to you. It's a shock. It really is.
Well, actually, yeah, they do.
Yeah, did you have a chance to see the U.S. Skins? Or I never.
Yeah,
bothered.
It's pretty terrible.
Well, that's the problem when you shoot in Canada is you.
And apparently, it's set in Baltimore because why not?
That's the
it
original
has
idea.
To do
but
with anything.
It's set in Baltimore, but there are no black people.
It's set in Baltimore for no reason, just because
yeah.
It has to be set somewhere.
Well, the problem is, I mean, I'm you know, there's nothing wrong with shooting in Canada. I was talking with my good friend Randall about this, and the fact that. If you're going to shoot in Canada, you use that location. I hate this generic...
I hate a problem. I like the show Psych.
Right.
But I don't like that it's supposed to be in Santa Barbara, but it's set in filmed in Vancouver, because it doesn't look anything like Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
It's all pine trees.
Yeah.
Santa Barbara is oak trees.
Well, the classic example is, did you ever see the show Huff with Hank Azaria?
No.
Well, I tried watching that show, and I couldn't get through it, but it's supposed to be set in Los Angeles, and I'm like, looking at all these buildings, like, I don't recognize any of this shit. And I'm like, oh yeah, it was filmed in Vancouver. So... I believe, you know,
I'm a big believer in faithful location filming.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with shooting in Canada, but use the location for what it's worth. It's having that cheap, bland look, you know?
Yeah.
I like it. I never bother watching the U.S. skins. I love reading the AV Club reviews of it.
Yeah,
though.
Actually, that's how I came up with the idea for my show, or the show I'm writing now.
Really?
Yeah. Because this is a fundamental problem with pretty much every show that's about teenagers.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that they're way too old.
Right.
Every episode, it's somebody who has some big, pressing, important issue to resolve.
Okay.
Like, oh no, Jimmy is a crackhead.
Billy's got VD.
Yeah, and I'm sick of that.
And it's funny you mentioned that.
I feel like, why can't we just do a show that's light?
Well,
that's
a very good point.
Freaks and Geeks was a little bit better with that.
Yeah.
But sometimes they fell into it.
Well,
in a more naturalistic way.
I mean, agree with that. It was much more organic. I mean,
yeah.
The fact I still say the garage door was the best episode when Neil discovers.
Well, that is interesting because it's like an issue that you never see on TV.
Kids discovering that their parents are divorcing.
Yeah, because they even reference the fact that it's so unusual because Mr. Rosso, he's like, I know your problems. Just lay it on me. He says, my father is a womanizer, and he just kind of sits there like.
It basically shows how much of a joke everything. I mean, you know, the same thing when Linda Cardellini's talking about when she watches her grandmother die and then she just dies. There's no big, you know, inspiration or anything like that. It really goes to show that how a lot of people and a lot of things are just full of shit. So it's like, what do? You're screwed. So I want to mention one thing about Skins, though. The idea, because you said about people being too old, the idea of Skins was that they were going to have child actors of the actual appropriate
right.
age. The problem is, at least in this country, in England you can show titties, but in this country, that was kind of that bullshit controversy where I think they showed some like 16-year-old's bare ass or some guy's ass, and they got into a lot of trouble about that. But you know how pure, you know, we got that thing with the FCC in this country, so.
Well, actually, I think... we'd be much worse off if we didn't have the FCC.
You think?
Because, like, one company would own everything.
Oh, that's very true, actually. I was talking about the issue of content.
The FCC's been a little bit lighter lately.
Yeah.
And, frankly, if I had to take a little bit of censorship over with some antitrust activity, I'm going for it.
Oh, I agree. I would definitely agree with that. I'm just talking about the issue of, like, you know, sex and violence and what kind of content can you show. You know, like, and it's always been said, like, here we have no problem about violence, but anytime there's titties, we freak out. And in Europe, it's the exact reverse.
Huh.
England is very particular about that.
Yeah.
It just is.
But apparently England is actually like the most dangerous country in Western Europe.
Because they like stabbing each other.
UK. Glasgow is the most dangerous city.
Oh,
Glasgow's
a
Europe.
Horrifying place from what I gather. And
yeah.
Again, because no one's allowed to, they ban guns. So everyone's got knives.
Glasgow has as many murders per year as San Francisco.
Wow. And obviously Glasgow's
a small
place.
The same. Actually, Glasgow and San Francisco are about the same size.
It's funny that I actually heard San Francisco had a pretty bad crime problem for a while recently.
Huh. Well, their murder rate in Manhattan is like non-existent now. It's very strange.
Yeah. It's very true. Same thing in this town, you know?
But apparently, other crimes that are not murder are more common in Europe than they are here.
Oh, yeah. That's
like,
very true. Property
you're
crimes.
More likely to get beaten up in Europe than you are here.
Well, again,
apparently.
Because no one has guns. So.
Yeah.
They're just going to use their fists instead.
Yeah, and you went to the Dodger game, and there was that whole issue with
there
the guy.
There was that incident, yes. That's why there was that bigger police presence,
right.
Because there was an unfortunate incident where at the opening day, there was a Dodgers versus Giants game, and a Giants fan was beaten so bad, he's in a coma right now.
Yeah, and my first reaction to that is like, what is going on? This isn't England.
Well, I was about to say this isn't Philadelphia, because Philadelphia, you know, back east... It's infamous that in Philadelphia the sports fans are so rowdy they actually have a courtroom under the stadium.
Yeah,
they'll arrest you and they'll try your case right then and there. Philadelphia fans are known. They say Philadelphia fans will cheer airplane crashes and boo Santa Claus.
Huh. You know, I've always associated that with the UK.
Yeah.
But I'm headed out to Philadelphia on the way to Israel this
summer.
Yeah.
What are you planning on doing in Israel, just to say? Are you going to go onto a kibbutz or...
I don't think so. We're just spending time on the beach and stuff. And
oh, okay.
The one thing I really want to do,
okay,
is sit and drink tea for breakfast in a clear glass.
And it's funny that
you could
do that right now. Actually, we can go to Cost Plus.
It wouldn't be the norm if I went and did that here.
Why?
Because that's something people do out there. It's the Middle East. That's how people drink. They drink their tea in clear glasses early in the day.
They take a nap or something like that. And that's interesting. I've never been over there. Been to Israel. I know people ask me, but I have no desire to go over there. And I've been told though, the weather is just like around here.
Yeah. Actually. Well, you know, we have Mediterranean climates, which is like California.
Yeah.
And Southern Europe.
Right.
And part of the Middle East,
yep,
and North Africa,
yep,
and tiny part of South Africa,
mm-hmm,
and two cities in Australia.
Which is why we can all grow oranges. So.
That's why we have wine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I never knew it. Well, I mean, there's obviously Manischewitz, but I never knew there was an Israeli wine industry.
I don't know about the Israeli wine industry. It's a small country, so I imagine they can't produce that much.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why you don't hear about it that much.
Right.
But I'm kind of curious.
I imagine it'll be very interesting. I mean, it's still the Middle East, and there's some very European sensibilities.
Yeah, you know, they just got medical marijuana there. It's new there.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, they're having some. It's shaky. They don't know how to enforce it yet.
Well, of course. Well, we don't know how to enforce it around here. What are you talking about?
No. They're enforcing it too harshly. They're doing like entrapment.
Oh, okay.
At dispensaries.
So they're checking people to see if they got cancer or
no? They're pretending to have cancer and going.
Okay.
To the dispensary to see if they'll sell them without a prescription.
Well, how's a dispensary going to know if they got cancer or not? I mean, that's a little hard to tell.
They
sometimes
hire actors. It's a whole controversy.
So it's
over
like
there.
That Seinfeld episode when Kramer got a job as an actor in a medical school. And,
yeah.
And he's just standing there, and he got to figure out he's got chlamydia. Yes.
It was gonorrhea.
Oh, okay, close enough. So that's interesting. And so do you have any other plans other than drinking tea in Israel, or is that's really going
to
be it?
Well, I've had to relearn some Hebrew from Hebrew school, well, almost none of which I remember. What I remember is mostly in the Bible.
Right.
And it's fairly incendiary. My Torah portion was very incendiary. It explains why Israel belongs to the Israelis.
Yes.
But I've had to learn some conversational stuff like...
Well, wait. I'll chime in while you're trying to figure this out. I thought English was commonly spoken over there.
Yeah, but it's still fun to say things in Hebrew.
Yeah.
Ani lo diber ivrit. Ani angli.
And that is?
Which means, I no speak Hebrew, I English.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Or, ani batol americani.
Yeah, and that is?
I am American virgin.
Oh. Would you really want to announce that you're a virgin? I'm pretty sure you're not a virgin. Is that something the angle you're trying to go with here? Actually, this is none of my goddamn business here. I just kind of assumed.
I haven't decided yet.
Don't answer that question. I can understand. You know, I don't want to have to cut that out. So, that, like I said, I you know, I applaud you on that. I'm trying to do more world traveling myself. But again, it's just not that part of the world. I mean, it's a fascinating part of the world.
Well, you have to understand. I have absolutely no money.
Okay.
So this is really a good deal for me. It's free. It's 10 days for free.
Wow. Actually,
but I have to fly. I have to fly out of JFK.
What's wrong with flying out of JFK?
Well, I have to pay my own way to get there. And I found out, and this is my plan.
Okay.
I found out that it is cheaper, much cheaper, to fly from San Diego to Philadelphia than it is to fly from New York to Los Angeles, from Los Angeles to New York.
Can
so
be.
My plan is, I have to take like 3 extra days just to take these extra travel steps, but
Jesus
in the end,
Christ.
I save $50. And I add 2 new states to my repertoire.
What? If it's going to take 3 more days...
it's an adventure.
I was about to say, wouldn't the money you're saving on plane tickets cost in a hotel arrangements?
No, because I'm transferring immediately and not sleeping.
Oh, okay.
I go into Los Angeles. I take the train to San Diego.
Right.
I fly thence via Minneapolis to Philadelphia.
Jesus Christ.
I take the train from Philadelphia to New York.
Wow.
This will take about 20 hours.
Jesus Christ. I don't know how I could do it. But then you get
you're
to
not,
fly,
you,
but I'm
well,
not
you have
doing
a job, so
that's
you
true.
Don't have to worry about that thing. You're
that's very true.
I've never been to Pennsylvania or Minnesota, so I'll be adding 2 new states. I've been to 14 states, and I've been to 6 new states this
year. Is it really
year.
Qualified, though, to say that you've been at the
if
airport, you
planes,
could say you've been at their state?
Feet have been on the ground.
I guess.
I've been connected to the earth by more than just air.
But they
that's
have
my parameter.
But they all have a Cinnabon. What's going to be the difference here?
Well, some airports are a lot nicer than others.
Oh, that's true. I agree with
LAX
that.
Is pretty terrible.
Oh, I'll agree with you in that. It's fairly beaten in, but I'm not
but
an
Boston Logan
critic.
Is worse.
Well, you know.
Apparently, I mean, the best. I went to Vancouver. I was at Vancouver Airport once when I was really little.
Yeah.
Not really little. I was 11.
All right.
And it was amazing. It was beautiful. It was carpeted. It was like a shopping mall, but nicer.
Wow.
They had like sushi boats and stuff.
Okay.
Everything was a restaurant. It's like every different kiosk was a restaurant.
That's crazy.
And they had all glass doors and everything was green and wood.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Grain, yeah. It's very northwest.
I will say it'll probably be very interesting to fly El Al because that's like a really, you know, they don't fuck around on that airline. So don't try and pull anything. Otherwise, you're going to go to jail. So
I have
the best security, man.
I don't know how I'm going to deal with a flight that long.
Well, I've been on a 14-hour flight when I went to Australia. I don't know how I did it.
Very greasy.
Greasy.
I'm
I was
going
just
to
dry.
Get very greasy.
No, I'm just like I was just dried out. So, but when I got there, I had no jet lag. When I got back, I had horrendous jet lag.
This is going to be this is an 11-hour difference what I'm doing. So I'm just planning since I'm doing most of in this pre-trip trip.
Yep.
Since most of I'm making most of my transfers at night, I just plan on being nocturnal. So when I get to Israel, nothing will have changed.
Okay. I highly doubt that, but we'll see. You'll know better than I will, of course. But I imagine it'll be fantastic, though. You get to see another cult, you know. I mean, there's just fascinating people. I just wish, you know, obviously things being what they are, you wish things would calm down a bit because I'm, you know, they're great people and all that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Apparently, I was surprised. Never mind. That's not. It's a boring aside. But
yeah,
I was gonna say something about drug addicts, but
yeah. Well, you made a good call. But anyway, we're kind of stewing our own juices here. It's too damn warm as it is. So
yeah.
I think with that, I think we're going to wrap it up here. So
that's definitely.
Yes. For the Ed Hocken Show, I'm Ed Hocken.
And I'm Sam Huddy.
Keep it classy.
All right.